Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc.
So you'll be an Austrian nobleman commissioning a symphony in C, which defies all earthly descriptions. You'll be commissioning a symphony in C. With money you squeeze from the peasants, to your nephew you can give it as a present. This magnificent symphony in C.
Formed as a somewhat antagonistic answer to grunge, the band Cake bounded onto the scene in the mid-90s with songs like Rock and Roll Lifestyle, The Distance, and a perhaps unexpectedly effective cover of Gloria Gaynor's disco hit, I Will Survive.
Oh, now go, walk out the door, just turn around, now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive.
In their 20-plus years, John McCrae and company, including signature trumpeting by Vince DiFiore, have released 6 albums and toured all over the world. They're playing 2 shows in our region over Memorial Day weekend, first at Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown, New York on Friday, May 26th, and then at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts on Sunday, May 28th. John McCrae joins us now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much.
Cake's first album came out, and I can't believe this, more than 20 years ago, like 23 years ago. How has performing and recording changed over the course of your career?
Oh, it's changed a lot, hasn't it? When we first started, we approached the recording project as almost as a kind of crafts project where we did everything. We produced it ourselves. We made our own videos. We designed the record covers. And, you know, we were serious about what we were doing, but we were also, it wasn't an incredibly commercial venture. It was sort of like a thing that was, we were doing because we wanted to do it a certain way. And at the time, you know, probably professionals wouldn't have allowed us to do it the way that we did it. But it was a time when you could still make a living from recorded music. Which is not the case for the vast majority of musicians now. It was a scenario in which you know, you'd go on tour. Sometimes you'd borrow money from the record company in order to afford the touring, and hopefully you'd break even or make some money from selling the records, and you'd pay back the record company from the sales of recorded music. Now it's completely upside down, and you have to make a living from the concerts, which has never been. It's not a huge majority of bands that can make that work.
Strangers in the night, two lonely people. We were strangers in the night. Said our first hello, little did we know, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And
how has the audience changed, if at all? You must have some enthusiastic, devoted fans after being around for this many years.
Yeah, you know, the audiences haven't really changed that much. Our audiences have been, you know, pretty stalwart. You know, you know, it's a lot of singing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when, you know, they're not supposed to sing, which is fine, really. And, you know, it's our performances are not, it's not a huge, loud concert experience. It's more, you know, a little bit more intimate than a Metallica concert.
Sure.
That's what I like about it. And, you know, there is this thing that's happening, I think, with everyone now where, you know, people are not sure where to put their focus or their energy when they're doing things in life. And a lot of people are more experiencing the concert through their phones and through the sort of through the posting of things, as opposed to just an experiential thing where you're fully in that moment as a human being, as opposed to this sort of tangential device is validating the experience. That's my interpretation, obviously, but I think it's a dilution of the experience, and I think that's happening, you know, at our concerts and all concerts. People are sort of, it becomes a more acquisitional experience,
mm-hmm.
than what I think concerts maybe have been or still can be, more of an explosion.
Some groups and comedians are doing this thing I actually just learned about, though I don't think it's that new, where there's like a venue locking pouch you have to put your phone in. Would you go so far as to implement those for your shows, or are you trying to roll with the new norm?
I don't know. I'm on the fence right now.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly prefer to just play music for the people who are actually in the room. You know, if I also in that moment, if I wanted to document one of our live performances, I would want to have a right to have a say in the production values and the presentation of that. And I would put work into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happening is it's just happening with or without my consent as an artist. And I, for me, it distracts me a bit to think that, I'm not just playing a concert for the people in the room and the people in that moment. It's going to be extracted from that context and really, let's face it, monetized by huge tech corporations,
right,
with like Dove soap ads, whether I like it or not. So that's, I have no problem with the enthusiasm of fans wanting to post things, but I do have a problem with the way companies are, in a way, without the consent of artists, just taking our stuff and monetizing with advertising.
The band used to or has done a thing for a while where at the concert you give away a tree and then the locations of those trees are on your website. Is that something you're going to do this summer too, or has that gone by the wayside?
Oh yeah, we're still doing that. We don't do it at big festivals because maybe people are too drunk or on drugs to navigate a tree.
Sure.
through the experience to safety. But when we play our own show, almost 99% of the time we have a tree that we leave behind, and the idea is pretty simple, that we have this sort of forest in a way conceptually, and we can watch people basically you plant the tree somewhere. It might be your house or it might be where you work, but you plant it somewhere and you take care of it, you get it going, and you take a photograph of yourself standing next to the tree when you first planted, and then every 5 years or so you send another photograph, and the idea is that we can watch the trees get bigger and the people get older and get a sense of time that way.
Winter's trees freezing in the bitter wind, and autumn's leaves have all been blown away. Being in the places where we used to be,
I love that idea. It's one of the coolest things associated with the band I've ever heard of. Where did the idea come from?
You know, the idea came from my own experience planting a tree illegally in the median between the sidewalk and the street outside of the apartment that I lived in Sacramento, California, and you know, it was just a 3-foot high tree, and I planted it, you know, at the right time of year, and then the band started touring more, and I moved away, and I was never home for 10 years, and I came just by accident back to that neighborhood. Somehow I was walking in that part of town and was surprised to be faced with a 25-foot high tree, you know, that I had planted. And I just thought, this is an experience that everyone should have at least once in their life, to plant a tree. And, you know, it's really not some big hippie environmentalist statement. It's really just about this is a fundamentally, you know, human experience that is, you know, really probably pretty ancient. And it's absolutely striking, you know, to have put something in the ground that's, you know, 2 feet high or 3 feet high and have it be like sort of end up stronger than you.
Cake will play Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown on May 26th and Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts on May 28th. It's very exciting to have you back in the region, John. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Once again, Cake will be at Brewery Omegang on May 26th and at Mass Mocha on May 28th.